ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತಾ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 14 ಗುಣತ್ರಯ ವಿಭಾಗ ಯೋಗ ಶ್ಲೋಕ 15 ರಜಸಿ ಪ್ರಳಯಂಗತ್ವಾ ಕರ್ಮಸಂಗಿಷು ಜಾಯತೆ ತಥಾ ಪ್ರಲೀನಸ್ತಮಸಿ ಮೂಢಯೋನಿಷು ಜಾಯತೆ. ಸೊ ವಿ ಸಾ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ವೆಬಿನಾರ್ ದಟ್ ಎ ಸಾತ್ವಿಕ್ ಪರ್ಸನ್ he goes to higher lokas after death. Now in this shloka, the gati of both the rajasic and tamasic persons are given. Rajasi pralayam gatva. If a person dies as a rajasic person, that means what? One who dies with prominent rajoguna. That's what it means. Then what will happen to him in the next birth? Krishna says, karma sangishu jayate. He will be born in the bhuloka as manushya again. As what? Karma sangishu, amidst active people. We should remember that of all the lokas, bhuloka is supposed to be karma bhumi. Here alone we can do karmas. All other lokas are supposed to be bhoga bhumi. Karma bhumi means what? Where we can work and earn. Bhoga bhumi means what? Where you can only spend. There is no working and earning. You can only spend. When you go to another country as a visitor, you can only spend your dollars. You cannot get fresh dollar there if you don't have a work permit. Similarly, whether it is a higher loka or lower loka, both are different. So in higher lokas, you can spend your punya dollars. In lower lokas, you can spend your papa dollars. So in both the places you can only spend either punya or papa. But the punya papa balance can be adjusted only in bhuloka. That is said here. So karma sangishu, because manushyas alone can be active, and so he is born among manushyas. That means what? He is born in bhuloka, which is neither higher nor lower, because he was here only earlier. Therefore, for sattva-guna, higher gati. For rajo-guna, it is middle. It is status quo, almost. Then what about tamo-guni? He says, tatha pralinaha tamasi. If a person dies as a tamasic person, predominantly tamasic person, with tamo-guna predominance, without doing any work, without learning anything, you know, that kind of thing. That means what? He lived almost an animalistic life. What will happen to him in the next janma? The Lord will regret for giving him a human birth first. So he says the birth best suited for him is that of a four-legged one. So mūḍa yonishu jāyate. They are born in the body of deluded beings. So mūḍaha. Mūḍaha means avivekis. The intelligence is not developed for them. The word yoni literally means the womb. So they are born in the womb of deluded beings. That means they are born in the womb of animals where buddhi is not at all developed. Because previously when human birth was given, he did not use his buddhi. So Lord says, you need not use buddhi. You may do whatever you feel like doing as an animal. A donkey can bray. Whenever he wants to, he can bray. He does not have to see whether it will disturb the other people or not. So mūḍayonihi. Mūḍayonihi means adoyonihi, lower janma. So it can be that of an animal, or it's still worse, it can be even plants, trees, or they may be born as asuras also without any viveka shakti, even though they have a human body. So lower janma means what? Either lower humans or animals or plants. So this is the lot of a tamasic person. Therefore, sattvic people get higher gati, rajasic people get middle gati, and tamasic people get lower gati. And these are the three gatis of the three gunis. With this, four topics have been covered so far. One is lakshanam, second is bandhana prakaraha, and third is lingam, and four is gati. So all these, we already outlined all of them in the previous webinars. So now comes the fifth topic from the next shloka, shloka 16, that we will read. Karmana sakrutasyahuhu, karmana sukrutasyahuhu, sattvikam nirmalam phalam, రజసస్తు ఫలం దుఃఖం అజ్ఞానం తమస ఫలం. సో ది ఫిఫ్త్ అండ్ ది ఫైనల్ టాపిక్ ఈస్ ది ఫలం ఆర్ ది బెనిఫిట్ ఆఫ్ ద త్రీ గుణాస్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్. ఎర్లియర్ వి టాక్డ్ అబౌట్ ద గతీస్ విచ్ ఇస్ ద బెనిఫిట్ ఆఫ్టర్ డెత్. సో మరణ అనంతరం ది పరలోక ఫలం. హియర్ ది ఫలం స్టాండ్స్ ఫర్ ది బెనిఫిట్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ ఇహలోక ఫలం ఇన్ దిస్ జన్మ ఇట్సెల్ఫ్. కృష్ణ సేస్ సుకృతస్య కర్మణః ఫలం సాత్వికం. హియర్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు రీఅరేంజ్ ద వర్డ్స్. కృష్ణ సేస్ సుకృతస్య ఫలం సాత్వికం. నౌ వీ హ్యావ్ టు రీఅరేంజ్ ఇట్ అండ్ రీడ్ అస్ యాజ్ సాత్వికస్య ఫలం సుకృతం. సో ద శ్లోక యాక్చువల్లీ రీడ్స్ యాజ్ ద ఫలం ఆఫ్ సుకృతం ఇస్ సాత్వికం, ఫలం ఆఫ్ గుడ్ డీడ్ ఇస్ సాత్వికం, అండ్ వీ రీఅరేంజ్ టు సే ద ఫలం ఆఫ్ సాత్వికం ఇస్ సుకృతం. So that's what we mean, good deeds. That's what we say. Something like, you know, spoonerism, we can say. The words are interchanged. Instead of bake the bread, you know, you say break the bed. Bake the bread, you say that break the bed, kind of. So a different meaning altogether. So here also, sattvikasya karmanaha palam sukritam. Sukritam means what? Punyam. Good deeds. The benefit of sattvik karma is punyam, which is nirmalam. Punyam, it is nirmalam, which is pure, which is good. That means, which is sukham. Whatever is nirmalam, is good, is sukham. So, sattvic action will always lead to happiness or joy. Whereas, rajasastu karmanaha phalam dukkham. The rajasic action will lead to sorrow. And tamasak karmanaha phalam ajnanam. The consequence of tamasic action is ajnanam. Not that he will get ajnanam, he is already an ajnani only. So it is perpetuation of ajnanam, that is foolishness, will be well preserved in that person. So a sattvic person also may commit a mistake. But because of the sattva guna, he will learn, he will correct himself and he will improve. Whereas a tamasic person will repeat the mistake again and again, will never try to learn and correct himself. And of course, tamasic person does not do karma at all, but whatever little he does, this is what he will do. So even the minimum action that he does will be foolish and will perpetuate his avivekaha, his indiscrimination. Therefore, Krishna says, tamasaha karmana phalam ajnanam. So in this shloka, the phalam of the three gunis have been given. So sattva gunasya phalam is sukham. Rajogunasya phalam is dukkham and tamogunasya phalam is ajnanam. So with this, the phalam topic also is over. So what are the five topics covered so far? Number one, lakshanam of the gunas. Then bandhana prakaram, how the gunas bind. And lingam, what are the symbols, the signs. And gati, what path they will take into, to which kind of lokas they will go and be reborn. And phalam, the benefit. So now Krishna will wind up his topic in the following two slokas, sloka 17 and 18. So sloka 17 we will read. Sattvat sanjayate jnanam rajaso lobha evacha pramada moha utamasaha bhavato jnanam evacha. This sloka is actually like the repetition of the previous sloka. That is the phalam of the three gunas. The consequences of the three gunas is repeated again in a different language. Previously he said, you know, sattvat nirmalam palam sukritam jayate. That's what he said. Here he says, sattvat jnanam jayate. Out of sattva guna, knowledge is developed. Krishna repeats it again to show that a Vedantic seeker should develop sattva guna because what he requires is jnanam. That is why he comes to Vedanta. Out of Rajoguna, what is born? Rajasaha Lobha Evacha. Out of Rajoguna, greed is developed more and more. Lobaha. Remember the third chapter. Kama Yesha Krodha Yesha Rajoguna Samudbhavaha Mahashano Mahapapma Vidyenamiha Vairinam. We saw that there. So Mahashanaha means a glutton. Any amount of eating, he will never get satisfied at all. Similarly, a Rajoguni, he may acquire any amount of things in life. He will never be satisfied at all. He will need more and more and more. So, Rajasaha, Lobaha, Evacha. Then what about the Tamoguni? Tamasaha, out of tamoguna the three evils are born. What are they? Pramadaha, mohaha and ajnanam. Pramadaha means negligence, carelessness, loose-mindedness. As I told, this is not the pramadam which people normally use in Tamil language. Pramadam means something great. This is not that pramada at all. Negligence, carelessness. And mohaha means delusion, wrong judgment, indiscrimination. And ajnanam is ignorance. It seems to become thicker and thicker for this person. So this is the palam of a tamoguna, tamoguni. So sattvagunasya palam, jnanam. Rajasaha palam, mohaha. And tamasya palam, pramadaha. So these are the three palams of the three gunas, which is almost similar to the previous shloka. So this is not a new topic, repetition of the previous topic only. Shloka 18. Urdvam gacchanti sattvastaha, madhye tishtanti rajasaha, jaganya guna vrittistaha, adho gacchanti tamasaha. This is also repetition of the previous topic only, the gati. The rebirth after death. Death, what happens? Which we already had seen in the 14th and 15th shlokas. But it is put in a nutshell. Sattvastaha urdvam gacchanti. Sattvic people, sattvastaha urdvam gacchanti. They go to higher lokas. Rajasaha madhye tishtanti. A rajasic person, he remains in the middle. That is not in the bhuloka itself. And tamasaha adho gacchanti. Adaha means the lower worlds. So tamasaha, they are all explained by another word, jaganya guna vrittistaha. Jaganya means lowermost, jaganya. So jaganya guna means lowermost guna. What is that? Tamoguna. So and vrittam, vritta means behavior, conduct or lifestyle. So jaganya guna vritta means tamasic lifestyle. So jaganya guna vrittistaha means those who lead a tamasic lifestyle. So the tamasic people who lead a tamasic lifestyle will go to adholoka, the lower lokas. And incidentally, we should remember here, in the sattvic people itself, there is a gradation. Even though they are all sattva predominant, there are also gradations can be there. For example, somebody can be 60% sattva, 30% rajas, 10% tamas, or one may be 70% sattva, 80%, it could be anything. Therefore, even in predominance, there is gradation among sattvic people, rajasic people also. So that is why in urdhva loka also, in the higher worlds also, there is gradation. Bhuvar loka also is higher loka. Suvar loka, mahar loka, jano loka, tapo loka, satya loka. So in higher lokas also, there is gradation because sattva predominance also has gradation. So also in tamasic people also, there is gradation. That is why in the adho loka also we have athala, vithala, sutala, rasathala, talathala, mahathala, pathala. So all those seven different lower lokas. And similarly in bhuloka also, we all may be predominantly rajasic people. That is why we are in bhuloka. But even among these people, we have got very active people, less active people. So it is all relative only. Relative aspects, that is the most important point. And there is another point also that we should remember. Here Krishna says, sattvic people go to higher lokas, rajasic people to the middle loka, and tamasic people to lower lokas. And the meaning of the world, higher, lower, etc., we should understand it very clearly. Here by the word higher, we do not mean literally there is an upper loka, not spatially higher loka and all. Because different lokas, according to scriptures, have got totally different space-time concepts. And so we cannot define them in terms of our space-time concept. For example, suppose we are in dream. In dream also, there is time and space. But can we define anything in dream in terms of waker's time and space? No. If someone is 5 feet tall in dream, it is only 5 feet in dream space, not in our space. Because over our bed, we will not see anyone 5 feet at all. So it has nothing to do with waker space, but only in our head only. Even the longest dream, it takes maybe last for 1.5-2 minutes only. But within that time, what do? We get married, we get children, they go to school, we get grandchildren. So many things happen within that 1 or 2 minutes. That means ది స్వప్న లోక టైం డ్రీమ్ టైమ్ స్పేస్ అండ్ జాగ్రతి లోక టైమ్ స్పేస్ ఆర్ టోటలీ డిఫరెంట్ అండ్ వీ కెన్ నెవర్ సే దట్ ద డ్రీమ్ లోక ఈస్ హయర్ ఆర్ లోవర్ టు ద వేకర్ వీ కెన్ సే ది లైట్ ఈస్ అబోవ్ మీ బికాస్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఇన్ ద వేకర్స్ వరల్డ్ బట్ వీ కెనాట్ సే ద డ్రీమ్ ఫ్యాన్ ఈస్ అబోవ్ ద వేకర్ ఆర్ నాట్ ఇట్స్ ఇంపాసిబుల్ టు స్టే యూ కెన్ డ్రీమ్ ఆఫ్ అ ఫ్యాన్ we can never say it is above you or below you. So according to shastras these 14 worlds have got different space time concepts that is why they say our forefathers the pitrus the ancestors they have to be fed only once in 15 days or month of a month so tarpana shraddha food that means they are all food offered breakfast is over it is lunch time next it is like that and when you go to brahmaloka our 2000 chaturyugas yesterday explained that in our shivananda lecture 2000 chaturyugas is one day and night for brahmaji so the point is the 14 lokas are not spatially higher or lower because they are never in our space time domain then what do we mean by higher and lower here higher is only a figurative term means superior by quality by character in terms of punyam nobility it is higher loka and lower loka means what again not spatially but in terms of character negative thinking and those kinds of things therefore urdvam and adaha higher and lower with respect to lokas refer to qualitative superiority and inferiority not spatially higher or lower this is the second point and the final point we should remember again here in this discussion is three people have been pointed out actually sattvic people will go to higher loka rajasic people to middle loka and tamasic people to lower loka adho loka and then what about a gnani they are talking about sattvic people rajasic people and tamasic people what about a gnani where does he go gnani never goes to any loka he discovers what aham brahma asmi I am the absolute reality I am beyond time and space therefore he is beyond this travel time space travel ihaiva samavili the gnani is ihaiva samaviliyante atra brahma samashnute then a doubt might come gnani is sattvic or not that question might come gnani has gained gnanam and to gain gnanam he has to be sattvic in nature that was the point we first said so gnani also is sattvic only because of that reason only he has gained gnana so gnani also is sattvic a sattvic person also is sattvic a sattvic person who is not a gnani yet he is also sattvic gnani also is sattvic then how do we say that a sattvic person goes to a higher loka and gnani does not go to higher loka that could be our question here the sattvic person referred to in this loka is an ajnani sattvic person krishna doesn't talk about a gnani sattvic person in this loka he is sattvic but he has not gained gnanam yet self knowledge he has not gained yet he is a good person so ajnani sattvic person if he dies without getting gnanam then he will go to higher lokas that is why in the 6th chapter even yoga brashta was discussed If you remember, Yoga Brashta comes under an Ajnani Sattvic person only, who could not gain knowledge, self-knowledge, for some reason or the other in that Janma. Some obstacle came, and so he could not gain self-knowledge, and by that time his Prarabdha ended, he died. Therefore, he gets Urdhvagati, he gets to higher lokas, all right. In the case of a Sattvic Jnani, there is no question of any Gati, because he is Gunatitaha. Beyond all gunas. Okay, then one more question could come. If someone asks the question whether the jnani is sattvic or gunatitaha, what will be our answer? If a jnani, if someone asks, jnani is sattvic or gunatitaha, what? Because both are correct only. But when we say he is jnani, we feel like saying he is sattvic. Because sattva guna alone, he has, through sattva guna alone, he got jnanam. At the same time, he seems to be gunatitaha also. So the answer is, we should ask the question back. Are you talking in terms of the anatma or atma of a jnani? In terms of the mind, jnani is sattvic. mind is not gunatitaha. Mind is one of the 17 or 19 subtle bodies. Whereas jnani does not identify with his mind, and so he says, I am not even the sattvic mind. Then who am I? I am the awareness, which is the witness of my own sattvic mind. Therefore, in terms of anatma or mind, jnani is sattvic only. But because he has got the jnanam, the jnani does not identify with his sattvic mind. He says, I am not even my sattvic mind. I am the atma, which is the witness of the sattvic mind. And the jnanam also belongs to the mind or atma again? Jnanam also belongs to the mind. Therefore, the jnani says, even the jnanam, really speaking, does not belong to me. Jnanam belongs to the sattvic mind only. Therefore, jnani does not even claim, I am a jnani. That is the beauty. Jnani does not even claim, I am a jnani. It is enough if you know this much at this moment. So now Krishna will enter into the next crucial topic in slokas 19 and 20. That, you know, we will see in the 19, 20 topic slokas now, just now. So in this, Urdham Gacchanti, this is a very beautiful shloka and, often quoted shloka. What happens to these people when they go to higher lokas, other lokas?
Nanyam gunebhyak kartaram yada drashtanu pashyati gunebhyascha param veti madbhavam sodhi gacchati.
So while talking about the sadhanas, we said that everybody has to gradually change from tamasic to rajasic to sattvic. That's what we said. For which alone karma yoga was prescribed. So we are made to be active. Our nature is to be active. And later we should go from rajasic to sattvic. For that alone upasana is prescribed. So in upasana, I gradually withdraw from karma, from rajasic, I gradually become sattvic. And from sattva guna, I should become gunatitaha, beyond gunas also. And the question is, how do I become gunatitaha? What sadhana should I do to become gunatitaha? And that sadhana alone is prescribed here, which is jnanam or knowledge. Other than knowledge, there is no other method by which the guna, the saguna, will become gunatitaha. By jnana yoga, he has to become. So gunatita is only another word for nirguna, beyond the three gunas. Now the question is, how can a saguna ever become nirguna? Saguna means one who is endowed with gunas. How he can become nirguna without any gunas? How can a thing with a property be free from the property? Saguna and nirguna are diagonally opposite. How is it possible to convert? Logically speaking, it is never possible. It is like converting finite to infinite. How can finite be converted to infinite by a process? Then how does Krishna talk about saguna becoming nirguna? That is the discussion here. Krishna wants to say that we are all the time nirguna only. It is not that you are going to become nirguna. We are all the time nirguna only, nirguna chaitanyam only, propertyless awareness alone we are, all the time. But because of identification with the body-mind complex, we have mistaken ourselves to be saguna. So sagunatvam is a mistake. We have disowned our nirgunatvam and identified with sagunatvam. This mistake cannot be removed by any amount of pujas or karmas or donations or any of those, but only through jnanam. By those, what are we meaning? What are we really doing? We are only quietening the mind. They all will bring a good guru, but by correcting, correction is through jnana yoga only. The mistaken identity with sagunatvam can be corrected only through jnanam, in the process of jnana yoga. And by jnana yoga, what are we really doing? We are not becoming nirguna, because we cannot become nirguna. We are only owning up our nirgunatvam, our nirguna status. This is the aim of jnana yoga. So owning up the nirguna nature of ourselves, we are nirguna always. So that is what we are talking about. Therefore, saguna becomes nirguna only through jnanam, not by doing anything, doing this karma and that karma. Karma, bhakti, they are all necessary as preparation. We don't condemn any of them at all. But what we say is final liberation, final conversion from finitude to infinitude, saguna to nirguna, bondage to liberation is only by wisdom, understanding, knowledge. And what is the understanding? That is what Krishna tells in this shloka. Drashta anupashyati. Krishna uses a very special word here. He does not use the word sadakaha, but he uses another word called the drashta. Drashta means seer, the one who sees, opening his eyes. Because as karma yogi, one is only busy doing actions, lot of karmas. One never opens the eye of wisdom. Same with bhakti and upasana also. But in jnana yoga alone, one begins to wake up to think. Think of daily pujas, abhishekam, archana, naivedyam, arati, namaskaram. If you think all of them, does anybody think in any of them mostly? Who am I? What is my bondage? What exactly is the problem? Nobody thinks. Not a seer. I am a blind sadhaka only. Then I do all these pujas and punaskaras. Now, one has become a drashta, a seer, an analyzer, a thinker, an inquirer, inquiring about the nature of oneself. So, we called him Jignyasuho. Others are Artha Bhaktas, Arthati Bhaktas. We saw all those things. Artho Jignyasur Arthati, Jnani Cha Bharadarshava. We saw that. But this person is a Jignyasu, one who wants to know what it is all about. Who am I? And how does he think? There are some people who want to know who am I, and what they do is what? Close their eyes and keep on asking the question, who am I? If they close their eyes and ask this question, what will come to the mind? The biodata only will come. I am the son of so-and-so. I am 6 feet tall, employed here, 60 years age, 70 years age. Therefore, Krishna says, anupashyati. Anu means in keeping with the teaching of the guru and shastram. Pashyati, he sees. Means he understands. So, a seer, a person who is a sadhaka, he understands in keeping with the guru shastra upadesha. The following fact. What are the facts he understands? Gunebhyaha anyam kartaram na. There is no other karta, anyam kartaram, other than the three gunas. Gunebhyaha anyam kartaram na. Double negative. No karta other than the three gunas means what? Gunas alone are the karta. So gunebhyaha anyam kartaram na pashyati. Gunaha guneshu vartante. Okay, what is the meaning of the word guna, gunaha here? We should remember the guna itself does not directly become a karta. Guna does not become karta directly. Gunas have been converted into the body and into the mind. For this, we should remember Tattva Bodha again. There we studied the creation. What did we see there? That Sattva Guna of the Pancha Bhutas have become the Pancha Jnanendriyas, the Sattvic aspect of the Pancha Bhutas that has become the Pancha Jnanendriyas, five sense organs. The Samashti Sattva Guna of the Pancha Bhutas has become the mind, the Antakaranam. The five individual Rajoguna of the five elements has become the Karmendriyas, the organs of action. And the total Rajoguna of the five elements has become the Pancha Pranas, Prana, Apana, Vyana, Udana, Samana. I'm just only refreshing. And thereafter was the Tamoguna through Panchikaranam converted to the gross elements and the body. Anyway, if it is understood or remembered, it is fine. Otherwise, just take, you know, what we say now. That Gunas have become the body mind. The Sthula Sukshma Shariram. Body mind means body refers to the Sthula Shariram, grass body, and mind refers to the Sukshma Shariram. And here mind also includes the intellect. Therefore, Gunaha Eva Karta. That means what? Gunas in the form of body and mind are the kartas and doers of all action. దిస్ వి హావ్ సీన్ యాక్చువల్లీ ఇన్ ద థర్డ్ చాప్టర్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్. ప్రకృతేహే క్రియమాణాని గుణై కర్మణి సర్వశః అహంకార విమూఢాత్మ కర్తాహం ఇతి మన్యతే. సో ప్రకృతేహే గుణై క్రియమాణాని కర్మణి, ఆల్ కర్మాస్ ఆర్ డన్ బై ద త్రీ గుణాస్ ఆఫ్ ది ప్రకృతి విచ్ హ్యావ్ బికమ్ ది బాడీ మైండ్ కాంప్లెక్స్. ఇన్ షార్ట్ వాట్, అనాత్మ అలోన్ డస్ ఎవరీ యాక్షన్. ఆత్మ డస్ డూ ఎనీ యాక్షన్. ఆత్మ ఈస్ అకర్త అభోక్త. ద దేహ అలోన్ డస్ ఎవరీ యాక్షన్. మ్యాటర్ అలోన్ డస్ ఎవరీ యాక్షన్. ఓకే, ఇఫ్ ద గుణాస్ ఆర్ డూయింగ్ ది యాక్షన్, అండ్ ఇన్సిడెంట్లీ అగైన్ వీ షుడ్ రిమెంబర్ ది గుణాస్ ఆర్ డూయింగ్ ద యాక్షన్ ఇన్ ఎ ఫీల్డ్. ద ఫీల్డ్ ఇస్ మేడప్ ఆఫ్ వాట్? అగైన్ ద త్రీ గుణాస్. దట్ ఈస్ అన్ ఇన్సిడెంటల్ పాయింట్. గుణాస్ క్యాన్ డూ యాక్షన్ వేర్? ఓన్లీ ఇన్ అ ఫీల్డ్. ఫీల్డ్ ఆల్సో ఈస్ మేడప్ ఆఫ్ గుణాస్. సో గుణాస్ మేడ్ ఇన్ ద ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ బాడీ మైండ్ యాక్ట్ ఇన్ ద ఫీల్డ్ విచ్ ఇస్ ఆల్సో మేడప్ ఆఫ్ ద త్రీ గుణాస్ విచ్ ఇస్ ద వర్ల్డ్. ద ఫీల్డ్ ఇస్ ద వర్ల్డ్. మ్యాటర్ ఇన్ ద ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ బాడీ మైండ్ వర్క్స్ ఇన్ అ ఫీల్డ్ విచ్ ఇస్ ఆల్సో మ్యాటర్. దట్ మీన్స్ దర్ ఇస్ మ్యాటర్ మ్యాటర్ ఇంటరాక్షన్. ప్రకృతి ప్రకృతి ఇంటరాక్షన్. గుణ గుణ ఇంటరాక్షన్. అనాత్మ అనాత్మ ఇంటరాక్షన్. ఆల్ ఆర్ సేమ్. సో దిస్ ఇస్ ఆల్ లైఫ్. ద హోల్ లైఫ్ ఈస్ మ్యాటర్ మ్యాటర్ ఇంటరాక్షన్. ఇఫ్ యూ థింక్ లైక్ దట్ సమ్టైమ్స్ విల్ బి వెరీ డిప్రెసింగ్. ది హోల్ లైఫ్ ఇస్ ఓన్లీ మ్యాటర్ మ్యాటర్ ఇంటరాక్షన్. వెదర్ వి సీ ఎ పిక్చర్, వెదర్ వీఆర్ ఈటింగ్ సంథింగ్, ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్ ఆర్ ఇంటరాక్షన్ బిట్వీన్ మ్యాటర్. దెన్ వాట్ అబౌట్ మీ? గుణేభ్యశ్చ పరం వేత్తి, అండ్ హీ ఆల్సో అండర్స్టాండ్స్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ టు బి వాట్? గుణేభ్యః పరం, టు బి బియాండ్ ద త్రీ గుణాస్. హియర్ ఆల్సో ద త్రీ గుణాస్ విచ్ ఆర్ ఇన్ ద ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ బాడీ మైండ్ ఇంటలెక్ట్ ప్రాణ థాట్స్ ఆల్ దోస్ థింగ్స్. సో గుణేభ్యః, గుణేభ్యః మీన్స్ శరీరత్రయ రూపేభ్యః ఇన్ ద ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ది త్రీ టైప్స్ ఆఫ్ బాడీస్. పంచకోశ రూపేభ్యః ఇన్ ది ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ది ఫైవ్ పంచకోశాస్ గుణేభ్యః. సో గుణ మీన్స్ ది పంచకోశాస్, ది శరీరత్రయం, ద త్రీ బాడీస్, స్థూల సూక్ష్మ కారణ శరీరం, పంచకోశాస్, అన్నమయ ప్రాణమయ మనోమయ విజ్ఞానమయ ఆనందమయ కోశాస్. వై? బికాస్ దే ఆర్ ఆల్ ప్రోడక్ట్స్ ఆఫ్ గుణాస్, ప్రోడక్ట్స్ ఆఫ్ మాయా. వి ఆల్రెడీ సీన్ దాట్. సో దే ఆర్ ఆల్సో గుణాస్ ఓన్లీ. సో గుణేభ్యశ్చ పరం, అండ్ వి హావ్ టు సప్లై వాట్? ఆత్మ. వి హావ్ టు సప్లై ది వర్డ్ ఆత్మ హియర్. హీ నోస్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ టు బి బియాండ్ దిస్ వి ఆర్ టాకింగ్ అబౌట్ జ్ఞాని. హీ నోస్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ టు బి బియాండ్ ద త్రీ గుణాస్. హూ? ద జ్ఞాని. సో హౌ డస్ హీ నో దట్ హీ ఈస్ బియాండ్ ద త్రీ గుణాస్ ఆర్ ద శరీర త్రయం ద త్రీ బాడీస్? ద లాజిక్ ఇస్ నాట్ గివెన్ హియర్, బట్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు సప్లై ద లాజిక్ ఆల్సో. వీ కెన్ సప్లై బేస్డ్ ఆన్ అవర్ ఎర్లియర్ డిస్కషన్స్. బికాస్ ఆల్ ది గుణాస్ ఆర్ వాట్? విట్నెస్డ్ బై మీ. దేర్ ఫోర్ విట్నెస్ ఈస్ డిఫరెంట్ ఫ్రమ్ ద విట్నెస్డ్, బేసిక్ రూల్. సో దృక్ దృశ్య భిన్న, సో దృక్ దృశ్యాత్ భిన్న, దర్ ఇస్ దిస్. సో జ్ఞాత జ్ఞేయాత్ భిన్న, సాక్షి సాక్ష్యాత్ భిన్న, డిఫరెంట్ ఫ్రమ్ దాట్. ఐ ఆమ్ అవేర్ ఆఫ్ ద బాడీ, దేర్ ఫోర్ ది బాడీ ఈస్ బీయింగ్ అవేర్డ్, అండ్ ఐ ఆమ్ ది అవేరర్, దేర్ ఫోర్ ఐ ఆమ్ డిఫరెంట్ ఫ్రమ్ ద బాడీ. సిమిలర్లీ మైండ్ ఈస్ అవేర్డ్ బై మీ. I am the constant witness of the changes in the mind. So, I am the changeless witness. Mind is a changing object. Therefore, I am different from my mind. I am not going to the discussion here. We have seen that in Tattvabodha itself. Those who have not attended the class, please look at the notes and the lectures on Tattvabodha in the website. Madiyam shariram madiya pranaha, all those slokas we did there. So, the principle is simple. The knower is different from the known. All the three bodies are known. I am the knower. So I am different from the known. So what? We can ask the question. The three bodies are saguna. I am different from them. Therefore, I must be nirguna. Now a little bit more argument we can have. Why can't I take myself also to be saguna? Right? The three bodies are saguna, sagunam. I am the witness. Why can't I be sagunam also? If I, the witness, also am saguna, like the saguna shariram, I also must be doing what? I also must be changing. The body changes. I also should change. Remember, every saguna vastu changes. That is savikaram. Saguna means savikaram, endowed with changes. If I the awareness, am saguna, I also must be changing. Like the saguna shariram, saguna prana, saguna mind, saguna intellect, I also should change. So I also must be changing. And if I am changing, then who will know the change? If I, the Atma, if I am also changing, who will know the change then? There must be another Atma to know the changes of me. I cannot know my own changes, because if I know my own changes, then I myself will be the subject, and I myself will be the object also. If I know myself, I must be the subject of knowledge. I must be the object of knowledge, which is never possible. Because subject and object can never be the same. So your eyes can see everything else except one thing. What is that? Your own eye. Your tongue can taste everything else except your own tongue. Your right hand can shake every other hand except your own right hand. So subject and object can never be the same. If our phone, in our phone, we can receive all numbers except one number, and that is our own number. So I, the witness, can never be Saguna. Then I will be changing. To know the changes, we need another knower. And if that knower also is changing, then we need another knower, and so on. Therefore, I am the changeless awareness. Nirguna Chaitanyam Asti. In short, the idea is what? He knows. He makes a Saguna Nirguna Vivekam. That's all he is making. Saguna Nirguna Vivekam. As in the second chapter, we had the Dehi Deha Vivekaha. In the third chapter, we had the Kshetra Kshetrajna Vivekaha. Here we have the Saguna Nirguna Vivekaha. Body is Sagunam. I am Nirgunam. I am the Chaitanyam Atma. I am Nirgunam. This is the Viveka, this is the discrimination, this is the knowledge. I am Nirguna. My occupants are Saguna. My occupants change. I do not change. Once we know this, then what happens? Krishna gives the phalam in this shloka. Saha madbhavam adi gachati. Such a person, saha, he attains my nature. Madbhavam. Bhava means swarupam. Because Ishvara's nature also is Nirguna Chaitanyam. Once I know I am the Nirguna Chaitanyam, I know I am identical with Ishvara. Because Ishvara also is Nirguna Chaitanyam. Then how do we say Ishvara is Nirguna Chaitanyam? That could be another confusing question. Is Mahavishnu or Shiva or Durga, are we speaking about those? We say that is not true. The Shiva Swarupam, etc., are Ishvara's Shariram. Just as my Shariram is Saguna, I am Nirguna. Similarly, Ishvara's Shariram also is Sagunam, but Ishvara is Nirguna, Nirguna Chaitanyam. So the difference is only in the Shariram, in the body, Ishvara Shariram and my Shariram. There is no difference in the Shariri, the Dehi, the Atma, the Chaitanyam. Difference is only in the Kshetram. There is no difference in the Kshetrajnaha. Difference is only in matter. There is no difference in the spirit. I am the one Chaitanyam which is behind all bodies. Whether it is my body, your body, Ishvara's bodies. And I am the Chaitanyam beyond Ishvara's body also. So this knowledge is called Aham Brahma Asmi. I am Brahman, the all-pervading Chaitanyam. That is the knowledge. And in me, the Brahman, there are so many bodies. And even Ishvara's body is one such body in the whole creation. Ishvara's body also is matter. Jiva's body is also matter. In the material bodies, there is inferiority, there is superiority, there is this color, that color, all that. Whereas I, the Chaitanyam, is uniform in all. Sarvabhutastam Atmanam. Sarvabhutani Chatmani. This is the knowledge that one gets. Shloka 20.
Gunanetanatityatrin Dehi Deha Samudbhavan Janma Mrityu Jara Dukkaihi Vimukto Mritam Ashnute.
So in the previous shloka, it was said that the palam of this knowledge is that one attains Ishvara Bhavam, Madbhavam. See, Madbhavam Adigachati. That's what Krishna said. Saha Madbhavam Adigachati. Madbhavam means Ishvara Bhavam. Now, what do we mean by Ishvara Bhavam? That is being discussed in this shloka.
So this shloka is a commentary, we can take it, upon the madbhavam abhigacchati of the previous shloka. So what is the greatness of Ishvara? Ishvara does not have samsara. We all have samsara, Ishvara doesn't have. That is the glory of Ishvara. Ishvara is one who is the ruler. He is not ruled by the world, not a slave in the world. He is not bound by the world. He is the master of the world. He does not have samsara means what? He does not have punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam cycle. He is not taken from body to body by the force of karma. We all have taken this janma because of the force of karma, prarabdha. In the same way, Krishna says that this jnani also does not have punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam cycle. So if you see the second line, janma mrityu jara dukkaihi vimuktaha. He is free from, vimuktaha means he is free from janma mrityu jara dukkham. Janma is birth, mrityu death, jara old age and dukkham sorrow. All these are not there for him. Why? The reason is given in the first line, because trin etan gunan atitya, because he has gone beyond the three gunas. Trin gunan etan atitya. And what type of three gunas? Deha samudbhavan, because they are the cause for deha utpatti, punarjanma, the next birth. So he has crossed the punarjanma, rebirth, which is the cause for the deha utpatti, cause of this body. And how are the gunas responsible for deha utpatti, for this body? For which the answer is given in the previous shloka. Krishna said, the three gunas only are the karta. This is the crucial word. Therefore, if I am identified with the gunas, I will become what? Karta, the doer. And if I become doer, karta, then I will do karma. And I will get punya and papa. And some of them are exhausted in this janma itself. And some will be left out. And to exhaust that punya papam, I have to take another birth. I have to be reborn. So, kartrutvam, doership, is responsible for punarjanma, rebirth. And what is responsible for doership? My identification with the three gunas. So, identification with the three gunas causes kartrutvam, doership, which causes punarjanma. So, a jnani, he has crossed over the three gunas because he has disidentified. Swami Chinmayananda, he nicely said, he has said talak, talak, talak three times. In the Islam, one can cut off wedding by saying talak three times, it looks. So Swamiji says, there are three talaks, he says, three shariras. Sthula shariram, one talak. Sukshma shariram, another talak. Karana shariram, another talak. So we are all married to these three wives. All are prakriti. And married, we are suffering from so many sorrows and problems. And what should they do? First talak, sthula shariram is out. Second talak, sukshma shariram is out. And the third talak, karana shariram is out. So now he becomes gunatita. This is Swami Chinmayananda, he jokingly says this. And once you are gunatita, you are akarta. And once you are akarta, you don't have punarjanmam. There is no need to be born again. So Krishna says, Deha samudbhavan etan gunan atitya. Having transcended three gunan, transcended three gunas, which are the cause for the rebirth, punarjanma, dehi, dehi means this jiva, the enlightened jiva, becomes what? Janma, mrityu, jara, dukkaihi, vimuktaha. He is freed from janma, mrityu, old age, dukkham and all that. And naturally what happens to him? Amrutam asnute. He attains immortality. Amrutam, immortality. Means what? He wants up his immortal nature. Not that he goes and attains elsewhere. It is not something to be attained in time. Right then and there. Okay, when we say this, we should be very, very careful. When you say, jnani attains immortality, we should not ask the question, how many jnanis have died? Such questions cannot be asked. Shankaracharya is not available, etc. He has passed away. We say they passed away, it is our confusion that we take Shankaracharya to be his body. Vedanta never tells body is immortal. Vedanta has no cure for mortality at all of the body. Even if it is Krishna Shariram, Rama Shariram, Shariram is mortal. So when we say that Jnani is immortal, we are not talking about Jnani Shariram, the Anatma. But but it means the Chaitanyam. That is I, the Chaitanyam, who is Panchakosha Vilakshanaha, Avastatraya Sakshi, Sachidananda Swarupaha, Aham is immortal. All are Tattvabodha language. Body will come and body will go. Jatasya hi dhruva mrityuhu, dhruvam janma mrityasya cha. One cannot get physical immortality at all. I can get only spiritual immortality. With this, Krishna has talked about the method of becoming gunatitaha. And that method is jnanam. And when the jnanam and jnana palam are mentioned, Arjuna is now curious. He wants to know whether anyone has gained this at all or not. Remember the second chapter? Siddha prajnasya ka bhasha samadhistasya keshavam sitadihi kim prabhasheta kim asita vrajeta kim. He asked that question. How does a siddha prajna, how does he walk, how does he talk, how does he behave? He asked all those questions. The same question Arjuna is going to ask here. Instead of siddha prajna here, it is going to be gunatitaha. But here the gunatita is the same as the siddha prajna of the second chapter. There is no difference at all. Or the same person was discussed in the second 12th chapter. Advaishta sarva bhutanam maitra karuna eva cha. So that same person is going to be talked about. There we named him as parabhaktaha. If you remember all these words, parabhaktaha, parabhakti, aparabhakti and all, that is the highest of the four types of bhakti. Parabhakti, artha bhakta, arthaarthi bhakta, jignyasu bhakta and jnani bhakta, and that is parabhakta. So the sthita prajna of the second chapter, Parabhakta of the 12th chapter and Gunadita of the 14th chapter, all three refer to the same person, the Jnani. So Arjuna is going to ask, how does a Jnani behave? And how to know whether a person is a Jnani or not? He is telling it in the next shloka question. Shloka 21. Arjuna uvacha kairlingai strin guna netam atito bhavati prabho. Kimachara katam chaitan tri gunanati vartate. So Arjuna asked the question, gunan yetan atitaha means gunatitaha, the one who is beyond all the gunas. Atitaha means crossed over. Gunan, the three gunas. Gunan atitaha, gunatitaha, a person who has crossed or transcended or gone beyond the three gunas. And if you put it in a simple language, gunatitaha. And who is gunatitaha? Jnani only. We already said, is only jnani, which we should always remember. So the jnani, the gunatitaha, kair lingaihi vartate. What are the indications, symbols, lingas for him? How to know him? What are the clues? The word lingam we have already seen earlier. So gunanam lingam we saw. Now Arjuna wants to know the lingam for a gunatitaha. And before we saw the lingam for the three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamo guna. Now Arjuna asks what the lingas for the gunatitaha. How to spot a jnani? There's a crowd of so many people. How to spot a jnani? Whether he will have two horns or any of those. So kair lingaihi three in gunas. So there are three questions in this shloka. And the first one is this. Kair lingaihi three. The second question is kim acharaha? What is his conduct? What is his behavior? And the third question is, katam chetan trin gunan ativartate. How does he transcend the three gunas? These are the three questions Arjuna is asking. So what are the indications of the gunatitaha? What are the characteristics of the gunatitaha? And how does he become a gunatitaha? These are the three questions. And how? Now, if we analyze the three questions, there seems to be a redundant question. If you look at all the three questions, what is the question? How does he become gunatitaha? That is the question. Then Krishna has already answered this. How does he become gunatitaha? We all know, we have seen it elaborately. By jnanam only. By gaining jnanam, he becomes gunatitaha. So why does Arjuna ask the question again? Does it mean that Arjuna did not pay attention or slept during the discussion? Not that. Arjuna also knows that it is through jnanam. But Arjuna's question is, how does one get jnanam? Not that gunatitaha is, how does a person acquire jnanam? We have to convert like that here. How does one get jnanam? Then these are the three questions. Now Krishna is going to start giving the answers from the next shloka for each of these questions. Shloka 22. Shri Bhagavanu vacha prakasham cha pravrittincha
మోహమేవ చ పాండవ నద్వేష్టి సంప్రవృత్తాని ననివృత్తాని కాంక్షతి.
సో ఇన్ శ్లోకాస్ 22 and 23 కృష్ణ గివ్స్ ది లింగాస్ ది సైన్స్ ది సింబల్స్ ఇండికేషన్ విచ్ ఇస్ ఆన్సర్ టు ద ఫస్ట్ క్వశ్చన్ ఆఫ్ అర్జున వాట్ ఆర్ ది ఇండికేషన్స్ ఆఫ్ అ గుణాతీత. ఫార్ అండర్స్టాండింగ్ దిస్ వీ షుడ్ నోట్ ఎ పాయింట్ హియర్. వి హ్యావ్ సీన్ బిఫోర్ దట్ దెర్ ఆర్ 3 గుణాస్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీ ఇండివిజువల్ నాట్ ది ఆత్మ బట్ ద బాడీ మైండ్ కాంప్లెక్స్ 3 గుణాస్ ఆర్ దేర్ అండ్ ఆత్మా ఇస్ నిర్గుణ బట్ ద బాడీ హ్యాస్ ఆల్ ద 3 గుణాస్ అండ్ డిఫరెంట్ ఇన్ క్యారెక్టర్ ఆఫ్ అ పర్సన్ ది వేరియస్ క్యారెక్టర్స్ ఆఫ్ ద పర్సన్ దే ఆల్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ డిఫరెన్స్ ఇన్ ప్రపోర్షన్ ద 3 గుణాస్ ఇన్ సమ్ పీపుల్ సత్వగుణ ఇస్ ప్రిడామినెంట్ ఇన్ సమ్ పీపుల్ రజస్ అండ్ తమస్ వీ హ్యావ్ సీన్ ఇట్ వేరీస్ ఫ్రమ్ ఇండివిజువల్ టు ఇండివిజువల్ అండ్ నాట్ ఓన్లీ దాట్ ఇఫ్ వన్ ఇండివిజువల్ ఇట్స్ ఇన్ వన్ ఇండివిజువల్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ 3 గుణాస్ వేరీ ఫ్రమ్ టైమ్ టు టైమ్ యాజ్ చిల్డ్రన్ వీ వర్ ఎక్స్ట్రీమ్లీ తామసిక్ ఎ చైల్డ్ నోస్ ఓన్లీ 2 థింగ్స్ ఇట్ విల్ సక్ మిల్క్ ఫ్రమ్ ద మదర్ అండ్ గో టు స్లీప్ అండ్ వెన్ ఇట్ వేక్స్ అప్ ఓన్లీ ఫర్ గెటింగ్ మిల్క్ అగైన్ 20 అవర్స్ ఇట్ స్లీప్స్ మీన్స్ తమస్ And we said that by sadhana, a person can change the gunas. A tamasic person by sadhana can change to sattvic. And so every jnani has attained jnanam only by becoming a sattvic person. So all jnanis must have sattvic temperament, predominance of sattva, which is more than rajas and tamas. Of course, in that predominance itself, there will be differences. For one jnani, it may be 60%, another 70%, another 180%. So there can be gradation. That is why even among jnanis, some are active. They go from place to place. Shankaracharya traveled all over. Without some amount of rajoguna, it wouldn't have been impossible. Establishment of mutts, argue with so many other philosophers, tremendous job. So he must have sattva predominance. That is why he was jnani. But still, he had enough rajas to serve the world. But there may be certain jnanis, Shukacharya, etc., you know, who were quietly in a cave. They never came out. That means what? They did not have that much rajas to come out at all. But still, they were all jnanis. So even among sattva predominance, there can be variation. This is only an incidental point. But the point we should notice here is, even in a sattvic person, we can only say that most of the time, he got the sattva predominance. But even a sattvic person, all the time, sattva predominance will not be there for him. Then how do we call him sattvic? Because most of the time, he is sattva predominant. That means even sattvic person has got tamas predominance sometimes and rajas predominance also. Similarly, even a rajasic person may have sattva predominance and rajas predominance. And because of this reason, even a jnani's mind fluctuates among these 3 gunas. Because it is the nature of the gunas to fluctuate. And here Krishna says, a gunatita recognizes the fluctuations of the mind and he has not detachment. He has got detachment and objectivity with the situation. And because of these fluctuations, he does not feel affected. He knows that generally the mind is alert, being sattvic. But at times he finds his own mind not in the alert stature. It becomes extrovert because of rajoguna, which occasions are rare for a jnani. Sometimes his sattvic mind also might fluctuate to dullness or tamasic also. And during these fluctuations, he does not react to those situations. That is a jnani. Because of sattvic predominant, he does not become elated. Because of rajas or tamas, he does not become depressed. This is the essence of the shloka. Gunatita appreciates the fluctuations of the gunas without ragadvesha. Okay, how does he recognize the fluctuations of the gunas? Can he say that, no, gunas are, apratyaksham. It cannot be perceived. And how does he recognize gunas? Krishna says, prakashancha. Prakasham is a lingam for sattva guna. We saw it earlier. Sarvadvareshu dehesmin prakasha upajayate. జ్ఞానం యదా తదా విద్యాత్ వివృద్ధం సత్వం ఇత్యుత. సో ఇన్ ది 11th శ్లోక వీసా ప్రకాశం ఇండికేట్స్ సత్వ ప్రిడామినెన్స్ అలర్ట్నెస్. ప్రకాశం మీన్స్ బ్రైట్నెస్ ఆర్ అలర్ట్నెస్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్. సో జ్ఞాని ఫైన్స్ సత్వ ప్రిడామినెన్స్ బై ది అలర్ట్నెస్ ఆఫ్ దీస్ ఆర్గన్స్. అండ్ సమ్ టైమ్స్ వాట్ డస్ హీ ఫైండ్? ఇన్స్టెడ్ ఆఫ్ ప్రకాశం హీ ఫైన్స్ ప్రవృత్తి ఇస్ మోర్. ప్రవృత్తి ఇస్ అ లింగం ఫర్ రజోగుణ. So he feels like establishing ashramas, going from place to place, convincing people about the propagation of knowledge and getting money from them, publishing books, establishing centers, all the siddhas. Remember, they are all impossible without Rajoguna. So even in such sattvic people. Therefore, when such desires come, he sees this as Rajoguna of the mind. But he is not bound by that desire. He allows Rajoguna to express. That's all he does. And if the Rajoguna expresses as desires, they will not be desires for my happiness, because he is a Gunatitaha. They won't be for his happiness. He is Gunatitaha. So the desires will all for the Loka Sangrahartham, Loka Abhivridhyartham, Parampara Rakshanartham, Shastra Pacharanartham. It's all for that only. But they will not be binding desires like the other people. How do we know it? He expresses the Rajoguna in the form of Loka Sangraha desire. But he does not expect its fulfillment. If these ambitions are fulfilled, it is a blessing for the world. The world deserves it. If they are not fulfilled, it is the world's misfortune. The world does not deserve it. But he is not affected by the fulfillment or non-fulfillment of that. He will just say, the mind put forth such suggestion. Therefore, such a proposal came. Regardless of the outcome, he knows aham purnamadaha purnamidam. He knows that. It all depends upon world's prarabdha. He is not affected by them at all. And when such pravritti comes, he does not react also. He appreciates that mind as it is. There is another jnani sitting in a cave. He does not even compare with him. My mind tells me to do that, and therefore I express it. That's all. Just like difference in physical constitution. As Swamiji tells, you know, if he is a Punjabi jnani, roti and other things will suit his constitution. That's all. If he is a Tamil Nadu jnani, it may be idli and dosa perhaps, which is the difference in constitution physically. He is not worried about these physical differences at all. Similarly, in mind also, these fluctuations are allowed. But remember, these fluctuations are not going to affect the jnani. Most important. After detachment, fluctuations are okay. Only before detachment, fluctuations create problems. Previously, fluctuation is a bondage. Now, fluctuation becomes an instrument of success. If it is sattva predominance, he may sit in one place and he can go on teaching. He may not move. So he sits, teaches, and that way he serves the society. But if he is Rajoguna predominance, he may go from place to place. But whatever be the condition of the mind, it will be for Loka Sangraha only, for the welfare of the world. And then what is the third condition? Moham evacha. Moha is an expression of Tamoguna. So Tamakkaryam. So Prakasham is Sattvalingam. Pravritti is Rajolingam and Moha is Tamolingam. Now we may ask the question, can a Gunatita or Jnani have Moham? We should be careful. He does not have Moham all the time. In a Tamasic person, Moha is all the time there. But in the Gunatita also, Moham can come as a passing thing. Because in fluctuation, mind will have to go through this stage also. For example, after the afternoon full lunch, I will take a couple of more minutes to wind up this. After the afternoon lunch, even the most sattvic person is dull. During midnight, all sattvic people are deep asleep. That means even jnanis, they are overpowered by tamas in the night. Similarly, during the daytime also, sometime during the fluctuation, that might come. And what happens? At that time, certain wrong decisions may be made. In judgment, in plain planning, certain differences may come. Certain things may be wrong. And later, when sattva predominance comes, he again recognizes them. There is no regret or anything for that. Okay, I committed a mistake and that's it. And if I have wronged someone, I will go and tell I am sorry. I will apologize. Or whatever correction is to be made, I will make. But no question of despair or worry or regret. No guilt. So, mohaha. When the tamoguna dominance comes at some times. So, nadveshtim sampravrittani na nivrittani kankshati. He does not hate sampravrittani when they are dominant. And nivrittani na kankshati. He does not desire when they go away also. So, when they arrive, he does not hate. When they depart, he does not have desire also. So, he does not have regrets. He looks at his mind objectively. It is one of the minds among millions of minds in the world. Why he is able to be so objective? Because he has not identified with his mind. Mind is anatma, matter, and I am the spirit, the chaitanyam, the witness of the mind. But we should remember that this shloka should not be misunderstood. Even though we say jnani's mind fluctuates, we must remember that predominance is what? Sattva guna only. Rajoguna is less and tamoguna is the least. But within these, there is some mild fluctuation. Not the most of the time, there is tamoguna. That is not true. For a jnani, predominantly, sattvic only, most of the time. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishthitaham tasya prakritilinasya parasamaheshwaraha Sri Krishna arpanamastu narayana.